Third? Okay. All right. Carrying on with our tradition here at Downriver of sparing no expense, bringing in guest speakers. We spent big bucks. This cost me $3 worth of gas to get them here today. They live somewhere out in the boonies someplace, so we spared no expense. But believe me, they're well worth it, right? Amen. So we're blessed. We're blessed today to have the lovely Wilkerson family here. All right, before I turn it over to them, would you like to pick somebody to open us up? Open yourself up, I mean. Please.
Ellie.
Ellie, all right. Ellie. Come on up here. Ellie. She'll do a great job. There you go, young lady. Ready? Just ask God to bless the teachers and the teaching today. And
okay.
Get something out of it. Amen. Go ahead.
Dear God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for everybody in it. I pray for everybody who is sick that they would feel better and that this teaching will go well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Morning. So how's everybody doing?
Okay, amen, amen. I want to start off this morning. Bob, about 5 months ago or so, asked us to do a teaching. And I said, sure, what do you want us to teach on? He said, well, I want you to pray on it and whatever God gives you. I said, oh, man, okay. So after praying about it, and Christy and I, we were going through some things, more so me with the sickness, God gave me what to speak on. And so today and next week, we're going to be talking about persevering through trials and tribulations. Amen. I want to preach about prosperity because they say whatever you're going to teach on is what you go through. So what? How come Ray always gets prosperity, you know? But I'd like to start off this morning. We got 2 Sundays, so I'd like to start off this morning with a song that God really put on my heart going through this trial. And just ministered to me a lot. So I just want to go ahead, Joe. Hit it.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down. Wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you.
As I look around this room, I look at my brothers and sisters, and you know, a lot of us are going through trials and tribulations. I look at a good friend, lost his job, somebody's dad almost passing away, a couple lost their house, my sister over here who's been dealing with a health issue for years, good friend just beat cancer. And the one thing, the common link that we all have is we're still praising him. Amen? No matter what. And God is there with us. And, we're never to give up. Never to give up hope. God wants us to persevere. So what does it mean to persevere? I looked up the definition. It says to persevere is to persist in anything undertaken, maintaining a purpose in spite of difficulty, obstacles, or discouragement. Continue steadfastly. And a lot of us have had obstacles over the years, months, whatever, during these trials. And discouragement does come in. And I'm here to tell you, discouragement is not from God. Discouragement, I remember Pastor John saying years ago that it's probably one of the enemy's greatest tools is discouragement. And he wants to come in and paint this ugly picture. But it's all a lie. Amen? One of the must be hungry. Synonyms of perseverance is to continue, to carry on, to go on, to keep on, to keep going, to struggle away, to be determined. And so many of you guys in here have done that, and I just praise God for that because we could have gave up. That's not what God wants, Thank God when Jesus, he persevered. He went through something way worse than we've all gone through. And he continued on. He carried on. He persevered till the very end. And thank God he did, because now we have the opportunity to have eternal life with him. Okay, I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit because I know there's been some tears here. But I want to personally thank everyone. I've had so many encouraging phone calls and texts and emails that it just blessed me. Somebody just called me out of the blue. Hey, I've been thinking about you. Now, how you doing? And this is sometimes these are people that are in sick or bad shape themselves. Kevin Mott calling me all the time. And he's not in good shape. Well, the other day I came home and I had a letter. And I says to Christy, I go, I got a letter from Roger. I was so excited. Roger, even though I was so excited to open the letter. And Roger had been calling and encouraged me. Now, mind you, him and Esther both went through some trial with the knee replacement. So I'm like, he's encouraging me. How you doing? You know, we're praying about you and thinking over you. You know. So I said, well, I know this letter's going to choke me up. You know, Roger wrote it heartfelt. So I opened it up. Well, it wasn't a letter. I'll pass this around. He found a picture of a guy that said, looks like me with these binocular glasses on. So I wish I could put it on the big screen here. So if you get a chance, it's even my own daughter goes, yeah, Dad, it does look like you. It did. Actually, it did. It cheered me up. It really, it brought me a good laugh. So I was, you know, the Bible talks about God's promises. And how many of us like to claim God's promises? Amen? Well, John 16:33. We're going to look up a promise here. Okay, Jesus here. Verse 33, it says to his disciples, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I'll thank God. But it is a promise, in this world you will have trouble. You'll have trials. You're going to have tribulations. Pastor John said, probably a month or two back, he said, life is like one big trial, but we get some nice breaks in between. So I'll be thankful when we finally get up to be in heaven with the Lord and no more trials, no more troubles, no more tears. But here's another promise from God in Hebrews 13:5-6. The Lord says this, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And there's going to be times, I'm sure, Donna, you know, others, you feel like, God, where are you? And your feelings will mislead you. But it says right here, it's a promise. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. We might not always feel his presence, but God promises us he's there. And he shows us in ways that are just, like I said, a phone call out of the blue or whatever. Remember, about a month and a half ago, Pastor Don had a vision of me, and it was me holding this bushel of green apples. He said, I grabbed one of the apples, and there was a worm in it, and I flicked the worm out of it. And he says, that was God showing me that you're almost done with your sickness. So, well, praise God, I hung on to that because the road still got rough even after that vision. So I was at work just the other day, and I was kind of having like a kind of semi-rough day. And I happened to look over. I was in the cafeteria, and they had this big pan of overflowing green apples. Now, they never serve green apples at the school. It's always red. And it was God showing me, remember the vision Pastor Don had? You hang on to that. You're going to get through this. And actually, the funny thing was, that very same day, Christy had wound up for prayer. And Ray Silva said to her, he goes, you know he's going to be okay, right? She goes, what? He goes, yeah, during worship, God spoke to me. He says, I seen Brian up in the balcony. And he says, he's going to be fine. Don't worry about him. So that was the same day that God gave Pastor Don, which was actually a little later, to Pastor Don, that vision. So God's there. He's moving. He's working through his people. That's how God moves. That's how he works. He shows himself. And I started thinking, you know, thank God, you know, people that have gone through trials, you know, whether, like I said, whether it's a sickness, a job loss, a loss of a home, a loss of a loved one, like Pastor Don lost his dad, or overcoming cancer. Thank God we have God to depend on and to lean on. I said to my wife, I says, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord. I thank God through all this that God's been right by my side, comforting me, you know, not just through, you know, his word and through prayer, but through the body of Christ. Thank God. And I told Christy, I go, I feel bad for people that don't have the Lord. You know, we have a hope. We're going to get through this. And as she reminded me, worst case scenario, we do pass, and we're with the Lord. Oh, there's another half to that verse in Hebrews where God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. In verse 6, right after that, it says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And there's times in all our lives, no matter how big you are or how brave, that fear comes in. I told Kenny, I says, I couldn't imagine. I've been at the same company for 29 years. So I could not imagine losing my job. So that would freak me out. And yet, he's been steadfast. It's not the first job that he had lost. And it wasn't even his own fault. But we know that God has a plan. God's going to be there for him. We know. I mean, look at the past. If we look back over our lives, I even said to my wife, we've been through worse than this. A lot worse.
Think so?
We've been through some roller coasters, let's just say that. Trial. We're talking about persevering, we're talking about trial. The definition of a trial is a test of faith, patience, or stamina through subjection to suffering or temptation. Read it again. A test of faith, patience, or stamina through subjection to suffering or temptation. Trials aren't easy. We got all different types of trials we go through and temptations. And this is a crazy verse, but it's James 1, 2 through 3. I'm going to look that up. I know Pastor Don knows it by heart. Wait, you know what? We're not even going to look it up. We're going to give it to Pastor Don. So you can pull it up.
Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials and tribulations of many kinds, for the trying of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance must have its full effect that you may be mature and complete, lacking no good thing.
The first verse there, like, consider it pure joy. I'm like, I want to tell you what, I don't consider it pure joy. I'm going to be honest. But I looked up different translations. And one of them says, consider it an opportunity for pure joy. And I said, okay, now that kind of clicks. Okay, God can use this. God can use your MS. God can use you losing the house and how he's going to restore you into a better house and how, with your job, and et cetera. So we have an opportunity to show the world. Tribulation. Definition. It's a cause of suffering or something that causes great difficulty, affliction, or distress. Perseverance comes through when you go through these trials. Like as Pastor Don said here, once your testing of your faith produces perseverance, this is let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God allows us to go through these trials and tribulations to, you know, help us to persevere and develop character and to become mature. But like I said earlier, he says he's right there with us. And he himself suffered way worse than any of one of us have ever suffered. He was our example. I want to go to a story in the Old Testament go to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and then scroll down to verse 13. We're going to read about David here, and we're going to pick up the story. And we all know the story about David and Bathsheba, how he had her husband killed and after he had an affair with her. We're going to start at verse 13 here. Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord," after Nathan rebuked him. But David realized he sinned. Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die." Whoa. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. How many times during a trial or tribulation we plead with God? I know I've pleaded. Don, I know you've pleaded. Well, David, who was a man after God's own heart, and God said that, David didn't. It says, David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. He was in deep mourning because he knew what was going to happen to his son. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when he spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. And a lot of people didn't know the Lord. They would. A lot of people. Seen it happen in the world. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. So even after God told him, you know, this was the result of your sin because of what you've done, and he warned him, take your son. Through all that, David pleaded. But at the end, God's will was done. And David still went into the house of the Lord and worshiped him. And that speaks a lot about David and about us. We're still worshiping God. We love the Lord. You know, Bob fought a heck of a battle with cancer. And we were all scared, really worried. But he came through it. We praise God for it. And as soon as he was out of the hospital, he was here worshiping God right where he belongs. I want to talk about another man here. Joseph in the Old Testament. You talk about someone that went through tribulation, went through many years. As you recall the story, first his brothers tried to kill him. Then they said, "Well, no, we're going to just sell him into slavery." So they sell him into slavery, and he goes to Egypt. And he sold to Potiphar, and then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of accosting her. Then he's put in prison. And this is years, you know, of stuff. And prisons back then, they weren't cable TV and the whole nine yards. Then he interprets the dreams of a couple guys. Well, then they forget to tell the king. Then later on, they finally, you know, there was this guy that interpreted dreams. So they told Pharaoh. So then it was at that moment Pharaoh took him and he interpreted his dream. And then God exalted Joseph, but Joseph went years, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Don, about 17 years? 22, okay. That's even longer. Hold on.
No, I only know it's 22 because Devin taught on Wednesday, so We taught Impact on Wednesday, and this is the story he talked all about and persevering storms and all that stuff, so it's perfect. But that's the only reason I knew 22 in my head. Otherwise, I wouldn't know. Right.
Years. And there's one thing I notice in Scripture. I never read that Joseph complained. I'm sure he got discouraged. I'm sure he was fearful. I'm sure he was disillusioned. But it never said that Joseph despised God or any of that. And he never, that he got mad at God or anything. In fact, he brought his family back together and loved on them, the same guys that did this to him. But, everything in Joseph's life, what had happened was ordained, because if he'd never been sold into slavery, never gone to Egypt, his family wouldn't have come to Egypt, and the nation of Israel wouldn't have been birthed out of there, because his family, they would have died in the desert because of the famine. But because he went, and then he got the wisdom to get the food and everything else, his faith in God never wavered. It says that he trusted God even in the worst of circumstances and waited to see what God would do. Never once does Scripture record him as complaining about his circumstances. That's a hard thing to do, is to not complain. Especially if it's in your nature, right, Christy? No. My wife, she's a positive, she's the one that said, what's the worst that can happen to you? You'll die and be in heaven. I said, thanks. And then Pastor Don, you'll like this one. I said, yeah, but the body won't even be cold, and all the men will line up around the block saying, may I help you, Miss Wilkerson? And then that house that I finally got, somebody else will be enjoying the fruits of my labor. I'm just being real, as Steve Shank would say. As if I would know any different when I'm with the Lord. Yeah, amen. Raquel.
I think it's difficult when you're in the midst of, when you're really in the center of that, of the craziness, of the trial, the tribulation, to not complain, not to murmur, not so much blame God, but ask him why. Why is this happening? What is it, because a lot of times we're like, well, what did I do wrong? Or what is it that's going on that we're not doing it right? So I think it, because of our human nature, it is easy to complain. And second thought, as a wife, Christy, we probably wouldn't want to remarry. It takes too long to train up the husbands. Just saying. We've done it. We've already done it once. We don't want to do it again.
One's good enough, right? it's funny that you say that Raquel just said, we want to ask God why. And the week before, on Wednesday, Devin taught about Joseph and that the way his life shook out, and how if that wouldn't have happened, all of those good things wouldn't have come out of that. And but the week before that, he talked about Jonah and how about the storm that he went through, and how sometimes storms just happen. We always want to be quick to blame, why did God let this happen? How come this? And what did I do wrong? Why does he not like me? But sometimes storms just happen. And you have to then, it's through those storms that just happen that you can still persevere and praise the Lord. And it's not always, sometimes it's a result of something that you did. And, it's a consequence for an action that you took that either, was against God or just in general. But sometimes life just happens, and it's not always that God's punishing us.
I'm next. I wanted to comment on what she was saying. I've never questioned God why I've been sick, but lately I have. Like, God, what have I done? Because when you go through it, you know, I've had it since 05. And at first you're okay. But then as time goes on, it gets harder. And lately I've been really sick. And I was sharing at a home meeting how I haven't shared with anybody else sick I've really been. But I was to the point, like, God, just take me home. I can't do this no more. Well, this morning I got up, and I was in the shower, and I was so excited because we were coming here, and I was able to do it. And so I was talking to Lord. I was praying in the shower, and I got out of the shower, and I felt normal. I mean, I felt completely healed. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Lord, have you healed me? And he spoke to me. He said, I have healed you, but it's not time yet. And I'm holding on to that because I know that I am healed. It's just that he has a work to do in me still. Maybe in others, I don't know. I don't know his reasoning, but I know that I can trust him. And I've never not trusted him. But it's like when you get to the end, it's hard, and you want to give up. And so many times I've wanted to give up, please. But it's like I can't, you know, and I know that's not a character of him to give up, you know. And like you said, you know, I haven't gone through what he went through. And if he can do it, I can do it. You know, but sometimes you reach that point. But this morning it felt so good. He gave me that to hold on to. Like, I will be normal again. You know, when I, a lot of you don't remember, but Lisa, my friend who came to this church, she had cancer. And she used to say to me, Donna, I just want to be normal. And I couldn't quite understand it. But then when I got sick, I knew what she meant. And today I thought of her, I thought, Lisa, I just want to be normal. But when I stepped out of that shower, I felt like I was completely healed. And I know that God gave me that to hold on to. And he's so faithful continuously through this illness. He has given me things to hold on to.
I've been here about 14 years. The first few years, of course, I didn't come faithfully, but there was a prayer in my heart that I never thought, to be honest with you, standing where I'm standing now, how it would play out. And I can stand here now because I stayed here at this church. God has answered that prayer within my heart, and it was actually to change. I was unloving. I had to deal with rejection, but God had to take me through those those trials to get me to where I am at today. And I can honestly say I have so much joy, and I know my heart is filled with God. I know my heart is filled with his love because I endured those trials and those situations that were very, very painful. I'm so happy that I stayed here. And perseverance, I believe that, I mean, what you guys are preaching on today is just, it just blesses my heart because I know God is saying, because of your faithfulness, Esther, you are where you're at. Because of yours and Fred's faithfulness and kept on and kept on. And believe me, there was a lot of complaining, a lot of tears, and a lot of why. But I'm thankful that the women have loved me. You know, I have certain women that I have called and they've loved on me. If I didn't have those women, I would have fallen. I would have fallen. And you know what? I'm gonna be real honest with you. I put Kathy through hell in the beginning. But you know what? When people couldn't see my change, she would encourage me because she told me, you did change. You're not that Esther anymore, Esther. And that's what I'm going to tell you, to be encouraged, because if you stay faithful, God will be faithful to you. And I can sit here and say thank you. Or Pastor Don, who, if I fell, if I did something wrong, and believe me, I fall so many times a day, he would remind me of what I did that was good. He said, don't worry about those other people who are judging you right now. You worry about what I say. And I don't have a dad,
And he is my dad. And he is encouraging me. And he's telling me to keep looking at what he says, not what everybody else said. And that's the same thing that my God says to me, as you listen to what he says. Because he will encourage you. He is my leader. He is my guide right now. Because I don't have a father, so he has to be my father. And he takes my husband and I, and he holds us, and he, you know, coddles us. It was something we never had. Never as a child did I have that. But I am so blessed to have this family, the sisters who have stood behind me and loved on me, even when I wasn't nice, and who encouraged me. And just, you know, I just want to let you know, perseverance develops character, and I know God has built character in me. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Don.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as Donna was speaking, when somebody's in an athletic contest, you know the hardest part of the contest is right before the end. Right before they cross that finish line, whether it's a marathon runner, you know, they start out, man, you got all that energy, you got, you know, but by the time you get to hitting the wall, you know, or you see the football teams, that fourth quarter comes and they're all holding up four fingers because they know that is going to be the hardest part of the game. And you have to persevere through it. All the training that they did, they have to rely upon their training, not the way they feel, not the way they think. They're over on the sidelines, oxygen mask on. You see guys over there, you know, encouraging them. But yet when you cross that finish line, the greatest joy, you know, you see that team that wins and perseveres through that last quarter. The game's not won in the first quarter, the second quarter, third quarter. It's won in that final quarter. And that's what they prepare themselves for. And that's what they can do. So, you know, you just see that over and over. And as you were speaking, Don, that's what I just thought, you know, that you go through a rough time, but it's the time is close, you know, and it's the hardest right before that finish line or before the gun goes off. So be encouraged. And, you know, we know, I know everybody's always continuing to pray for you. And you know, we look forward to that day that we rejoice. And we rejoice now that you're going through it. I know that might sound cruel or when somebody's goal through a trial, but yet we know that God is working something there. And over the years, seeing the lives of you and your husband and what you've gone through and where you're at today as opposed to where you started off, you know, that's just the encouraging thing. And God knows what he's doing. We don't understand in many instances, in many cases, but God knows what he's doing. I was just thinking real quick, you know, the Apostle Paul, one of the great men of God, but yet towards the end of his life, you know, he couldn't see, or if he could see, it was very bad because he would have somebody dictate his letters. Jesus told Peter at the end of his life, somebody would lead him by the hand, you know, but he still, and I like that scripture that you had up there before, you know, that he would never leave him, he would never forsake him, that he would always be there, you know, in this life. Be encouraged, he's overcome the world.
I'm going to close. I got a short story. When I found out Donna was going to Mexico with us, I was like, I don't know. You know, her health's not good. I was worried. I'm like, So we got down there, and a lot of the young guns got sick, Madison, Joe, and Donna wasn't doing too well. And I seen God move. She was taking care of Joe. Joe's mom wasn't there to help him, and she's taking care of mothering him, nursing him back to health, and with a lot of the others. And while the rest of us weren't sick at the time, she was back at the camp praying for us, doing this and that. And I was just like, it was really encouraging. It was like, man, I was like fired up. I'm like, look at her go. I was like, wow. You know, I was just majorly impressed. And Pastor Don had come up with a great idea because Don always liked to walk up that mountain, but she wasn't physically able. And he says, well, we're gonna build the thing where we can carry her up the mountain. And I was like, that's a wonderful idea because we were all a team. And we were going to get her up that mountain or high water. And we were just encouraged, and we told her about it. Well, unfortunately, it was raining so bad that day that we weren't able to do it, but just the fact that you're our teammate and we love you and just appreciate you And it just, that blessed me right there, because even in all her sickness, she came down there and just did a great, she didn't complain. She just did her job, and it just really blessed me. So I'm going to ask you to just close the prayer. I appreciate that.
Lord God, we just thank you for today. I thank you for Brian and Christy. I thank you that you're healing him, that he's healed, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing in him, Lord. I thank you for where you've taken both of them through this time, Lord, because I know that only you can do that, Father, and you bring circumstances in our lives, Lord, to teach us, and that's the best teacher, Lord. And, Father, I pray today, Lord, that as we go into worship, before we come before you, before your throne, Lord God, that we would honor you and give you glory, Lord God. And, Father, seek you out in what your heart is for each one of us today, Lord. I pray as people come in the church, Lord, they would feel your Holy Spirit and feel your presence, Lord, and allow you to minister to them and be set free. We pray for freedom today, Lord God. And I pray you impart to each and every one of us, Lord, your hope, Lord. And I thank you for today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.